October 11th, 2002. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
We'll be right back.
Watt from Pedro Show, October 11, 2002 version. That was the Suburban Lawns, their first 45 from back in
the day.
1979, Long Beach band. Used to play with them before the Minutemen. We had this band called Reactionaries and played their practice pad in Long Beach. In fact, played with them at this Club Laundry.
Oh, yeah?
I played the Club Laundry last night, which was kind of a trip. And played there many, many years. And it changed big time. It's like a giant disco. They changed the stage. It didn't play very well. It was a horrible gig. Brother Dale brought me in there. It was kind of a favorite hymn to play there. Yeah, I'm going to play some of his stuff later. His, the Rubatos.
I ran over a dude once right in front of the Club Laundry.
Oh, really?
That was trippy.
One time the Meat Puppets took their motor home and emptied the turd tank through the mail slot, the hose. A lot of history there. I haven't played there in years. And, I met Brother Dale with the, he was assistant Brother A. West. One of the last Minutemen tours, the Salvation Ministry, we took them aboard, and they had this pretty much of a hoot with this, you know, kind of evangelist fire and brimstone thing.
Brother A. West still around?
Oh, I haven't talked to him in years.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him. Disappeared. Before that, we had Marshall Ball, Made Up My Mind, and we started with some John Coltrane live. In 63, Berlin. A lot of noise, huh?
Yeah, a little action back morning in Pedro.
The port's back in action. The bosses have decided to open it up. Well, they didn't decide. Bush invoked Taft Hartley, which totally plays into their hands anyway. It's funny how the Daily Breeze, this is crappy Copley news service paper, so pro PMA.
Yeah, the whole media was really stacked against the
especially that paper. The day they opened the port again, the headline was "Get back to work," you know, like it was a strike. You know, and then the next day was "Back in business," which is what they are, totally pro business. I was up at Prac, you know, I Prac up at Angels Gate, and where the Marine Exchange is, people watch the harbor, the traffic.
So you're the traffic controllers.
And the, well, no, it's in an old military building. I practice maybe a few hundred yards from it, but I'm not in that building. In fact, it's all locked, gated, locked up. And a public radio reporter tried to talk to them about the situation. They wouldn't speak with them.
Oh, yeah?
So they went and talked with me. And the guy wanted to know what it was like. You know, I told him I ride my bike at the crack of dawn and pedal around and by the waterfront and all this. And he wanted to know what the what it was like to have all them boats outside the breakwater. You know. And so I got to be on the radio, which is pretty much true. Huh? So there's, but that was, well, maybe they parallel broadcast on the internet too. It was the Pasadena one, KPCC, which is probably the best.
Hundreds much better than KCRW. Of ships out there, hundreds.
There's a couple on, I think 207 at the peak.
Man,
it was a trip to see them all parked out there.
Yeah.
And you know those cats, the sailors, the little Filipino guys, treated really bad on them boats, eating rotted
chow. Oh, yeah, it's like a mobile prison.
Nightmare. Okay, anyway, the port's back open. Jer, Pete, guys in my band can work again, and I guess 80 day cooling off. But it's like a gun to the head. They're not, the union don't have much room to negotiate with these people. So
screw the working man again.
Yeah, again. Well, maybe they'll remember when it comes to voting time and they won't get carried away with this war stuff and they'll realize, you know, what's up. and maybe they'll vote a different way when it, things come up. It's funny how Labor delivers a lot of these whatevers. We hand over the acquiesce power.
They kind of made it PMA, and then PMA kind of turned on them.
Yeah, PMA. What's to say about them? Okay, here's Jay Maskus in the Fog. Tell the Truth, Watt from Pedro Show.
Today in the recording studio with Reverend Noah, preparing to record his second solo album. Reverend Noah, if I could have a moment of your valuable time, if you could just tell the kids how you're going to come out here with one of your zany monologues and give it all you've got and really ball the jack. Reverend Noah, tell them how you're going to just ball the jack. Reverend Noah, Reverend Noah, come over here by the mic. Reverend Noah, over here by the microphone. Reverend Noah, tell them how you're going to ball the jack. Reverend Noah, what? Come over here. This isn't like you. This isn't seemly at all. Come, you're recording a second solo album. You are Earth's greatest rocker. Come here and tell the kids you're going to ball the jack.
I don't want to ball the jack, Cousin Skip. I don't want to ball the jack. I just don't.
Reverend Norm, you've got to ball the jack. You're Earth's greatest rocker. Come over here and tell the kids right now you're going to ball the jack. You have to ball the jack. You are Earth's greatest rocker. Ball the jack.
Skip, I just can't ball the jack. On my last solo record, I was bawling the jack, Skip. I was bawling the jack, and things got out of hand, and words were said in anger, Skip. Skip, I've got the devil in me.
Be that as it may, Reverend Norm, it is your sworn duty to bawl the jack. Now you come over here, and you tell the kids with one of your zany monologues, how you're going to bawl the jack.
Skip, I'm going to have to put my foot down. I will not ball the jack. I will not ball the jack.
You've got to ball the jack!
I will not ball the jack, Skip. There'll be no balling of the jack. I don't even know what it means, but I'm not doing it. It's going to cause me to just lose control and do the devil's work. Skip, no, absolutely not. There'll be no balling of the jack. No, nothing you say, Cousin Skip, can make me ball the jack.
Oh my goodness, the smell of brimstone fills the air. Who is this interloper?
Reverend Orb, it is I, Satan.
Well, hey, Satan, how you doing? How's the job at go-kart treating you?
Fine, thank you. But I wish to tell you about not balling the jack. Reverend Orb, you need to do the devil's work. You need to ball the jack.
Darn it, Satan, I just won't do it. I won't ball the jack. I simply will not ball the jack for you or any man or beast or demon known to mankind. I shan't do it. I shan't ball the jack.
Oh, but Reverend Nord, you must bring the ancient evil to the world that is the Hucklebuck.
Satan, no, I shan't. I shan't bring the ancient evil that is the Hucklebuck to the world. I shall not do it. I'm putting my foot down. There will be no bawling the jack. There will be certainly no Hucklebuck. I am a moral man. No bawling the jack. No Hucklebuck, Satan. I'm sorry. That's it. Case closed.
Oh, but Reverend Nord, remember, good girls like bad boys.
Yeah, okay, that's true. That's a point. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute, but who do the bad girls like?
Reverend Orr, bad girls like bad boys, too.
Oh, well, in that case...
They, all of them, know. Ask the sidewalk painters of Paris. Ask the sunlight on a sleeping dog. Ask the three pigs. Ask the paper boy. Ask the music of Donizetti. Ask the barber. Ask the murderer. Ask the man leaning...
Oops. Got cut off there. That's Charles Bukowski with a portion of They. all of them know. I don't know why I got cut off, but hey, that's lame because he has very wise words. Before that, we had Reverend Norb with Satan Sounds Like Zodiac Mind Warp. Before that, some live pop group, Shake the Foundations. And started with Jay Maskus and the Fog off his new record, Tell the Truth. What Pedro Show here. 3 weeks ago, I went and saw Slater Kinney with Pettibone, who's in Europe right now. He'll be back next week. And anyway, I did an interview with them. And, well, I seemed to spiel a little too much, so I had to edit it. But I'm going to play it for you here. This is them playing their Hollywood gig at this mall thing. Hollywood and Highland Mall. Kind of very strange.
That's the new chic zone?
Yeah. Kind of a motif of Cecil B. DeMille. More like the Intolerance. What was his name?
Which one?
No, the guy who made it. Birth of a Nation. God, Alzheimer's again.
Jeez,
I can't pick his name. Anyway, got more ambient sound flooding in here, Brother Matt. Yeah, shut that hatch, maybe. Anyway, here's the interview I did with Slater Kinney on September 21st, 2002. Watt for Pedro Show.
You know the word sueño?
No, what does that mean?
It's Spanish for sleep, but it also means dream. It's the same word.
What if you sleep and you don't dream? In Spain, you probably don't. McLaurin has a baby. Her has
Tucker. Oh, yeah. Marsha Tucker.
Yeah.
It's a great name. I saw them.
Because I know Marsha Tuckerman, but I'm not sure I know any of the songs.
Yeah, I can't.
There's got to be a hit, though.
Remember the lead guitar player played with this song? He didn't lose a pick.
Oh.
That was good. How many years is this for you guys? Eight? Is that a trip?
Yeah. 8 years, it seems like it's changed a lot.
Yeah. Well, now you're Portland. You were Olympia, right? Did a lot of cats move from Olympia to Portland?
Yeah, a fair bit. More moved from Olympia to Seattle, seems like.
They're still doing that?
Two close options. Although Olympia and Seattle seem to have always had sort of a battle going on. I think it's kind of like they just want to move to a city. Maybe they're getting out of the music business.
The Kate thing. That was like the earliest, what I consider like part of me. No, I should ask you, was that part of your scene, like sort of?
Totally.
Calvin?
Yeah. I mean, that's like a big reason why I moved to Columbia. That was pretty popular all over, because I lived in Eugene. So like everyone knew about K-Records and Calvin and Now Be Happening.
Now, your first record's on Donna's label. So I met Donna. I took the Screaming Trees on the first two tours.
Oh, right.
They had two fat guys. I love bands with fat guys. Man, too. That's where I met Donna, because Van had the lead, and she played bass for them. She told me about this little magazine she had called Chainsaw, and then it was a label. She still have that band, Team Dresh?
No, she's still doing Chainsaw, kind of. She's like totally into computers now.
She don't play bass?
Music.
Is it easier living in the same town? You weren't in the same town, huh?
Yeah.
I was wondering how you guys write songs. Sit down, committee, dream by committee. Or does somebody come in with the word?
No, we usually do. Like Carrie or I would come in with the guitar part and we'll work on something. And then we all take it to Janet. She kind of listens to it, gives us feedback, and then we all work on it together, you know?
So it's not like everybody with a four-track.
No,
No. Here's my demo.
No, no. And no one ever really writes anybody else's part, you know. It's maybe a suggestion, like, oh, try this. Or, but everyone kind of comes up with their own stuff.
Yeah.
And then we make, like, and then I make usually a cassette at practice. And I listen to the cassette and, like, think of ideas, how the song could be more powerful.
What about the words? Are they single person?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, because they seem very focused. And I wonder, how could you do that and collaborate? But the words come last.
Yeah, usually.
Or the title.
The title comes very last.
Yeah, that's true.
A few minutes before we...
I mean, this might be kind of biased or obsessive, but the bass issue. What was the idea of making a band without a bass? Whose idea was that?
We just didn't know there was a bass. We were both kind of snobs. Both of us were in other bands, and we were both guitar players.
Yeah.
We didn't want to become bass players. Three people.
Yeah.
We just didn't know there was a bass.
Yeah, and you weren't missing it in the sound.
No.
You didn't have like a retarded lame friend. That's usually who gets put on bass, not the right field guy. But you know what? Especially with this new record, I hear like bass in a way.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I know. I really kind of. Hey, Sarah. Transformed. Like, into more of a bass player, I think, over the year. Because it's like. Sometimes it's really cool, you know,
sort of a, just
like a lot of the 80s bands, and, you know, that weren't arty enough or something. I think we always wanted to be a little bit more arty.
Oh, that's rock and roll,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Good sex. Bass parts never, or your guitar parts never get ripped first, then?
Not usually. Carrie usually comes up with something first, and then I write to her. That's what happened a lot of the last
time.
I think we were like that too. I mean, the whole K Records thing was all about hitting the wrong man.
What about the cover? Who painted that?
This woman, Annabelle, right? She's in the band The Pastels. They're from Glasgow. Just.
Did you ask her to do it?
Yeah, we knew she was a painter, and we knew we wanted a painting for the record cover. And so we sent her the lyrics to one beat, the song, and then had her kind of interpret it her own way. She sent us like 15 choices.
There's like three colors. Is each one of you a color?
Not that we know. I don't think so. There are a lot of good ones to choose from.
Yeah.
But we all just sort of agreed on that. Okay.
Why'd you call it one beat? Because you live in one town?
Well, it's...
That's stupid.
The song started out being one beat because the drums play one beat. So it was like the working title, which we have for almost all the songs, which is some working title that doesn't end up being the actual title. But it's sort of like philosophically, the whole album just started sort of revealing itself as relating to that name.
When was the coyote or the fox one?
Written?
Yeah. Written. In the beginning or the end?
In the middle.
In the middle?
One beat was one of the later songs.
What was the first one?
Hollywood, I think. My high school was like, I was different enough from everyone in LA just because of who I am, and I'd never fit in with, like, the cheerleader, blonde, beach-going, you know, L.A. scene, which is kind of when I was in high school, like, late 70s, early 80s. Preppy, you know, and I just never fit in with that. But it was no one acted out towards me at all, even though I looked a little weird and, you know, wore an overcoat every day to school. And
what do you think about now when a young person is probably very normal to have a couple years of green hair?
Yeah, well, for me, I've said before, like, the most shocking thing is when you see people on TV commercials with, like, that look, you know, and it's just so bizarre. Like, that's like, they're using that look to sell things now. Like, that used to be just, you know, something that just the really wild, you know, crazy music kids would look like. And it's pretty bizarre. I mean, I'm not sure, like, kids today maybe need to take it to some other level.
What do you guys think of Ray?
I don't understand. I mean, I feel like that's really the first thing that I didn't understand. Like, that was the first, like, schism, like, generation, like, difference. I really don't understand Ray Wilshire. It hit right after I graduated high school.
Do you think it was going to be like the new outside thing?
Sort of. It sort of seemed like that. Like kids were turning to that because it was, it had a fashion.
And it involved like, yeah, had drug all culture.
You know, it had all these elements. It had the music, a fashion, and a drug, basically. And it was something that their parents didn't understand. You know, it definitely was different than, and I mean, it was something that scared their parents way more than, I guess, music.
Being in a band. What do you look for when you ask bands to open up?
I guess we try to put together, like, an evening that's going to take the kids on some sort of journey, you know? Like, they're going to see some things they maybe haven't seen before. Or seeing people who are taking chances on stage or going out on a limb. Or just being creative, like, every night in a different way. Like, things that don't happen. A show that's going to happen once, and that's it. You're never going to see that same show again. You know, it's not going to be like the band's all doing the same set list and the same moves every night, and then you go to the next town and you repeat the same thing. When you think of genre and you think of, like, the bins at the record store, it's just those, rock, like, rock, pop, soul, jazz, and you just think of those same ones that are so totally ingrained that it's almost meaningless at this point. Genre becomes kind of hurtful when everything becomes retro. And, like, every new thing gets put into, like, something that's already happened. Like, oh, this is the new garage rock movement, you know? Like, how does that really help anyone process the music at all except just lump it into a category?
What do you guys have to do with the Riot Girl? People ask you about?
Yeah, people ask us about Riot Girl. I mean,
is it a style of music or a state of mind?
No, I mean, to me also, it's difficult to assess that as a style of music. I mean, it's like the Ramones are punk. I mean, they are like, the Ramones are punk and Bad Brains are punk. I mean, those are two different styles of music. I mean, one, I guess, is hardcore. But, I mean, it's just, I think it has to be more ideology at this point than musical genre. Like, musical sound. I mean, like, the whole idea of what punk music is, I mean, it is just marketing. Like, punk as a music, to me, is just, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, genre is reductive, and it does just help people understand. I mean, it's the same with journalists put labels on bands or compare them to other bands. I mean, it's just a way for people to, like, mentally grasp an idea. I mean, because
doesn't it harm that idea?
Maybe the challenge is to defy that.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, maybe it's when people are ready to challenge themselves to just break out of any mold that's possible. I mean, I find people like, what kind of band are you? And it's great that it's like, you know, it's a hard thing to answer, and I would rather just not answer. You know, it's like, listen to the music.
Yeah. So you what about the word crossover?
Like that.
What's the other one? What about taking it up a level? Have you ever been told this?
No, taking it to the next.
Well, I like pushing the envelope. I love that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raise the room. I love raise the room.
Yeah. Think outside the box. You think outside the box.
Earn the privilege of paying more people. Yeah. What about that one?
Well, definitely, like,
I've never heard that one.
My girl was like a ghetto. Like, we lots of, like, our music can get, there's sort of like this ghetto of, like, female music, and usually we've risen above the ghetto.
Right, yeah.
Females and music. Like, we've somehow transcended our own gender and histories in order to make good music.
It's like, it was the same thing for, you know, in Olympia, like, when the Riot Girl thing was starting, it's just like, you know, my first band, having the best thing on tour was Bratmobile, and it was like 9 girls in 2 cars, and we just started driving across the country, you know, and of course we would talk about ideology all the time, and it had a lot of suggestions in our show, you know, so it was a really organic thing that happened, and we didn't know that it was going to turn into something that was national at all. Definitely, because there was such a strong reaction to it. By the by the time our tour ended up there a month later, suddenly there was all these girls that were now Riot Girls, you know.
Critics. Huh?
A lot of them aren't very academic.
Huh?
They're not very intelligent often, actually. I mean, it seems so separate.
Form of a veneer.
It's separate from who we are and what we do. I mean, I just don't think that anything that's ever written about the music supersedes the music's own importance, no matter how much they write about it or dissect it between the music and the fans. You know, it's two completely different mediums.
But then the zine people, they're right.
It's almost like the zines have all written, and now they want to write about new things. You know, we're, like, not a new band, you know? So we're not, like, you know, we're not written about as much in zines as maybe when the band was first starting in the
first
3 or 4 years. Because, you know, you play bigger places, and you get more fans, and those people want, like, you know, they want the underground, like, things that no one's heard of. They want to expose these things to people and, you know, write about the cool new thing. So I think that the... I mean, you feel it from the young people, but,
yeah.
I mean, you can't really pay attention to that. I mean, we put enough pressure on ourselves. I think the young people want us to stay the same more than they want us to change.
No, in your mind, I'm not talking, you can't know really what's in their mind.
I mean, I feel more of a pressure to, like,
not change.
Like, that people want us to write those same songs again, and that makes me even more determined to, like, push it out somewhere new. Like, we don't want to just write those same songs over and over.
Yeah,
like takes away from the songs if you just redo the song, you know? The idea is to write something new and relevant. It feels like we still want to use the framework within which we work, you know, like the two guitars and the drums. I mean, to completely change, you really have to give up your instrument and play something else. Like, to me, that's the only way to sound totally different is to not be playing your instrument, you know? Like, if we have two guitars and drums, we're going to sound like Leonard Kennedy, probably. But we tried to, like, take kind of different avenues as far as, like, song structure and sort of the dynamics of the record.
You guys have influences, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of X-Ray Specs? Do you like them?
Yeah. Of course.
What about the Sonic?
Of course. Sonic. Yeah. We're from the Northwest.
Well, not that Sonic. Oh. The New York
Sonic.
Yeah.
Oh, the Sonic.
The Sonic.
We're doing
your
Bob Lawton
impersonation.
Oh, yeah.
I love
it.
When you were first
started? Yeah.
Huge
influence.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, like, to see a band that improvising on stage, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, I listen to jazz, which I love, and I love improvising in jazz, but to see, like, you know, rock band doing it. Really. I still feel that way when I see Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
I still feel really impressed, you know, like, listen to what they're doing. You know, that's so incredible. You know, the drumstick. Like, even though I've seen it a million times, it's still totally blows me away.
Do you like some of the young bands?
I saw this band, Lightning Bolt.
Yeah, Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt?
Lightning.
The drum and bass?
Yeah.
Okay. Good stage show.
Yeah, it's a great show. And the audience interaction is really great. And there's so many girls. Like, they're a chick band, you know, I had no idea. It's like, wow, there's all these girls in the front jumping around going insane. I like that. Now I feel like here today, like what emo is, I'm like, oh, that's emo? Like, what about the emo, DC emo?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, that's what I thought emo was. Like, Flint.
You know, with the bright eyes, I played with him. He's a nice cat and stuff. But see, there again, genre, huh?
You
wonder if people are really right.
Crying. I mean, he's literally crying.
He is crying.
We listened to that. I have the most recent record. I really actually like a lot of it, but there are certain parts where he's crying.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. It just makes me smile. You know, I laugh. It makes us good, you know. It makes me feel something other than, like, oh, this is generic garbage, you know. I think it's, like, these days, you kind of get the feeling you just want to, like, pull your people in and, like, you know.
Hunker down?
You can hunker down and just get through, you know, like, get through the country and do shows and have it be really personal. And it's hard to look for the bigger picture and, like, popular music now, you know?
And has anybody asked you for guitar lessons?
Just my friends.
You ever gave a guitar lesson?
I just did right before we left.
Yeah, I've never known how to answer that. I get asked that all the time to give bass lessons.
Just my friend Chris, we're doing an exchange, but he wanted to learn how to play guitar. It wasn't weird, though.
What's he teaching you?
He's going to just do, like, I told him that when I find a new place to live, he said he would do all the painting.
Yeah, barter. Because I have a real weird ideological problem with this. Showing somebody how to play. A real problem for me.
Oh, really?
What about, like,
he's like almost 40. Like, he just wants to, he's not going to go out and, I'm not teaching him a style.
What about telling someone, like,
or use food words?
What about,
maybe no music.
What about teaching him the other things about, like here's some tips.
Right, you just grab it.
Sometimes I think there needs to be more, like, oral tradition between musicians.
Like
about,
a mentor?
Like, yeah, you know, when you, like, especially for women, like, when you get to the show and you have to do your first sound check, like,
yeah,
you know, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that they don't get there and feel humiliated, you know, when they say kicks in their head and they don't, you know, how do I do that, you know? Like, sometimes I feel like, or like, how to tune your drum, you know? Like, this is how you might start.
You're not afraid of cookie cutter and Zerat.
Really,
that's the fear I got. I think the worst thing in this world could have is like 100 mic wide bass players, you know?
But like, telling
Jesus
someone
Christ.
How to do their sound, you know, like telling someone how to survive. I guess it's like something about being a woman in sort of this dominant male scene. Like when you get to the club and it's all guys. Like, you know, make sure you fight your monitor mix. You know, make sure that you don't, you know, get pushed around. Like that sort of message to pass along.
But I don't think the person that taught me how to play guitar, I mean, he just showed me 5 chords, and I'm as far as the thing from a cookie cutter version. It's the guy from Sunny Day Real Estate, Jeremy Enid.
Oh, wow.
He showed me 5 chords, and I play guitar way better than he did.
So you took it from there.
Yeah.
What'd
I mean,
you?
I just think people have natural, like, I don't think it's, I don't worry about, like, an institution, like, forming around.
And I think someone who would ask you for guitar, or for bass lessons, or for guitar lessons, they don't want to be cookie cutter.
We've been doing the rock camp in Portland, and it's really great, because there are these, you know, these girls that they just want to know,
talking to them about it being done, you know, like this is how you get started in doing the thing that's sort of intimidating. I mean, I wish you were watching Shannon, because she's actually someone who is out there, you know?
Yeah.
And she's so raw.
Is she from Portland?
No, she's from Atlanta.
Whoa.
She's so raw. I mean, it's really like art rock, you know?
Yeah.
It truly is like art rock. Right. It's amazing to see it every night. You wouldn't want someone to give up because some sound person scared them, you know? Although maybe if they're not tough enough to, you know, battle through that, they may not make it.
I think it breeds a little maybe mediocrity. I mean, we definitely, like even 8 years ago, we started, had a lot more hurdles and pushed up against a lot of things all the time.
And you were better for it, right?
I think it
didn't kill you.
The hurdles really, they changed though. Like now, being a band that's been together for a long time, the hurdle was like keeping it real, you know, keeping it true. Like, how do we keep our friendship, you know, honest and vibrant and vital, you know, and how do we keep our music vital? Like, it becomes like, it's like a whole different battle.
Yeah. Sometimes the wall is your own wall, you know, it's not like some outside, like, societal or, like, industry wall. It's like the walls that you have in your sort of your own, like, psyche or in your own, you know what I mean?
I think the bottom are in the heads.
Right.
Oh,
from Pedro show. Getting at the end of the first hour of the October 11, 2002 edition of the show. Here in the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, Wild Kingdom Radio, Brother Matt assisting me here.
Right on.
That was some Slater Kinney from their new record. A song called O. Before that, you had Retarded Watt doing his imitation of a pretty pathetic version of an interviewer. You know, I'm still new to it, and like last time with Raymond, I asked some stupid stuff, and a butt in, and so I have to get better at that. But they had a lot of interesting things to say.
It's trippy talking to people that you know and not being able to just get in your natural groove, huh? I remember when I would interview Carlos when I was at KXLU, and I knew him good. But, man, those were the most awkward interviews, and he would give yes-no answers and talk with his hands, and that stuff just wouldn't work.
These gals, they're very articulate.
And yeah, it was cool listening to them.
There was
cool
a band
jazz
playing before, right outside. Of course, Raymond got all embarrassed and bailed. So I was there alone, and I felt so awkward. But I really wanted the people who listened to the Juan Pedro show to get turned on to them, because they are interesting people. And it's a trip how, I mean, they are a lot younger. Drummer's close to my age, but the other two are still in their 20s. And it's a trip how the movement through all the years still cascades. And newer folks come aboard and have stuff to offer and contribute. It's not like everything was done 20 years ago. It's interesting to see the ripple effect. And I wish I would have had it more together. I thought of a million things to say on the way up there. And, of course, when came down to it, I got all scared. Forgot everything. Just idiot. And it was right before they played, too. So it's, you can imagine in their minds. Now, Carrie was conked. They woke her up. I told them I'd do it with just the other two, but they woke her up. That's why it starts to swing you. Okay, end of the first hour here. October 11, 2002 edition. Thank you. Hold tight for hour two. Come right up. October 11, 2002. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Right, I'd like to bring our hammer down. The guy will be company. They're also from Pedro, so they're legit. Thank you.
We are men here on a great battlefield around the war.
show. Oops, had a little thing there. That was a reading of the Gettysburg Address by a band called When People Were Shorter and Lived Near the Water, an 80s band. I can't remember where they're from, maybe New York. Before that, we had Jeff Pincus' new band, Areola 51, with Sheets of Sand and Crisco. Jeff just sent me that. And we started with D. Boone in 1984, a live gig, him with his Hammer Down project. Cats learning the drums in front of people. He had four cats from Pedro doing floor tom while he wailed on the guitar. And now I'm very pleased to hand over the spin platters to Brother Matt for another spin cycle.
Thank you. Here we go.
Hey, baby. Ain't you lazy? I'd like to have a piece of that. Baby, give it here. Mama, how much do you want? Baby. Ain't nothing like a party. That's a party. Take them off, mama. Take them off, mama. Get them off, mama. I got the heavy, baby. Give it to me, mama. Give it to me, mama. Give it to me, baby. Give it to me, mama. Give it to me. Dolly, have my hand. titties, baby. Give me them britches, mama. Woo! Big chin. Lord, I'm not a big ass, mama. Big ass.
of mayhem. Yes, I'm thinking of this. Yes, I am. Puddle Town Tom was the underground. Hold you tight. You're so close. Yes, you are. Please hold on to the steel rail. Colonel with gloves drafts leeches. He isn't love on Sunday's mail. All the fives crock Henrietta. She's a mean go-getter. Got to write her a letter. Did I wink? Did I wink? King of this, I am yum, yummy, yum, dumb, yummy, yum, yum, yum. Yes, I'm skeleton kissed to the steel rail. Fleas in Pamela gloves, drafts, leeches, chugging along with a funnel of steam. All the fives crock Henrietta. She's a mean go-getter. Got to write her a letter. the months, they go so fast. And these days I like to move slow. Trying to walk straight down a crooked road. Trying to turn plastic into gold. It's better to think there's something more. It's been a long time since I've seen you, man. It's been a long time since I've seen you, man. It's been a long time since I've seen you, man. It's been a long time since I've seen you, man. I'm sorry if I've been so hard. I thought that somehow you didn't care. It's good to see you smile again. It's good to see you smile again.
From Pedro Show, coming on the end of hour two. That was Brave Captain. This is Martin from Blue Radleys. Tune called The Monk Jumps Over the Wall. Before that, The Bachelor Pad, a band from England from the late 80s. Song called The Albums of Jack. Before that, a live recording of Janitor of Lunacy, 1972 in Paris. With Lou Reed, John Cale, and Nico, of course, singing. And started right after Brother Matt's spin cycle. Thank you, that was great.
Cool, thanks.
Spin adventure there. With Sid Barrett, If It's In You, off his Madcap Laugh record. There was a story in an English paper about Sid Barrett just recently. People won't leave Sid alone, you know? Coming up to his door and stuff. What's that about?
Tension.
Yeah. I just want a garden. All right. Hold tight for hour three. Coming right up. October 11, 2002. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show, and here's part 11. Missed last show because I got spieling too much with Raymond. So, sorry about that. But here's part 11 of the fourth tower of Inverness.
Now we return to the thrilling adventure serial, The Fourth Tower of Inverness. Jack Flanders has been regressed into several of his past lives. In those lives, he found himself a painter in Paris at the turn of this century, a young wealthy dandy in England in the 1700s, and a young black girl with a child in an African tribe. As we join him now, he is about to be born to his present-day parents.
My mother is 7 months pregnant. The circle, the vigilance I keep outside her body extends only 2 feet from her. I'm also inside, too. I'll move ahead 1 month. Ah, I'm inside completely now. I can hear everything perfectly. I can hear the stomach gurgling. I can hear the heart. I can even hear everything going on outside. Traffic in the street. Voices talking. I'm getting ready to be born. I'll move ahead. Now I'm head first, waiting. Now I'm coming out. A lot of gurgling sounds. There's the doctor. Ooh. Oh, he has such cold hands. He has rubber gloves on, and they sure are cold. Lights are so harsh. lot of stainless steel. He's holding me up. My mother can't see. She's out. Drugs. Now I'm being wheeled down a hallway. I'm lying on my back in a sort of a bassinet.
Take yourself ahead 3 years.
Well, there I am, standing next to my uncles. Their legs are like tree trunks compared to my size. There's Uncle Jowls. He's really an incredible person. Suntanned, brilliant teeth, laughing. And there's you, Auntie, wearing one of those shoulder-padded 40s dresses. You're beautiful. The two of you look so happy.
We'll stop now. Whenever you wish to continue at some later time, you may do so by simply relaxing, making yourselves full of light, and continuing where you left off. All right.
Oh.
Well, Jack, how was your little trip?
Wow. Oh, that is amazing stuff. Where did it come from?
There is a man named Swigard who somehow arrived at the method. It's so simple, anyone can do it. But of course, it's impossible for most people to believe that they can do anything at all.
Oh, boy, it's so strange. You know, when I lived in Paris at the turn of the century, I could see that there were certain things in my personality that I still have, and I'm trying to work out.
Yes, that's often true.
Also, when I was looking at my paintings, for example, a farmhouse and the yard and the well outside and chickens and the farmer and his wife off in the field, well, when I looked at that painting, I found myself standing there in the yard doing the painting. Well, do you see what I mean?
Yes, yes, I see.
Then I was back at Monsieur Leblanc's gallery looking at the painting. And this was true for all the paintings. If it were a bridge over the Seine at night with lights reflecting off the water, then I would be there, standing there, hearing all the sounds, breathing the air, watching the people in motion, and then back in the gallery looking at the painting. That was incredible.
Yes. The mind has the ability to go out and grasp information from anywhere. It's sad that we don't believe we can do it. Come. Let's go out on the terrace.
Oh.
It'll be quieter out there.
Yes, I could use some air.
Yes, you may regress yourself often, and you'll find that you've known everyone here. You may have been their father at one time, or their daughter, or a good friend. It's a nice exercise, don't you think so?
Oh, sure, yeah, I guess so. I'm still so bewildered that it works. It's so simple. I expected all kinds of hocus-pocus to be going on.
Magic?
Well, sure. There's been enough weird things happening to me around here. I didn't expect anything so straight.
Possibly 90% of magic is showmanship. As you travel more in past lives, you'll see how everyone creates such theater in their lives. It's like watching a play.
Yes.
And death. We die over and over and over and over, and still we keep coming back and doing it again. When the Buddha was asked why we must grow old and die, he replied, "Because we are born." And so it is that birth is dependent upon the process of becoming. And this process would not have been set into motion if there had not been a will to live and a clinging to life. A thirst after the objects of life. And then we have the wheel of life.
Yes, well, go on.
Have you seen the Tibetan wheel of life?
Well, sure, I saw it in your library. But I just want to ask one thing first.
Yes?
Well, why wasn't I someone famous or a saint or something in my past lives?
If you had been a saint, you wouldn't be here now, would you? And also, we should be nicer to our parents, shouldn't we? Since it is we who have chosen them. What was that?
Oh, wow, it's the bell. It means we've caught the dragon. Oh, we'll continue with this later, Auntie. Right now, I've got to help Missoula. Holy smoke, there it goes again. We must have caught something else. I better be... Again?
Dr. Missoula's dragonfly paper appears to be working quite well. Yes, yes, very well indeed.
All hands on deck. We're going for... There she goes again. Bring extra nets and camels, laddies. We got two of them. Oh, make that three. It'll take all the binding we've got. Three, by God. Make that four. Four fat and sassy dragons. Four. Seven, by God. Step lively now, seven lean and slithery fire-bellowing beauties. Seven, nine, did I hear ten? Nine, I got nine. Ten, do I hear ten? Going once, going twice. Ten, we got ten, laddies. How many is that?
14, Captain.
14, it's 14. 16, big and burly. 19. Wait a minute, 19? Hold on, there can't be 19 dragons.
21, Captain.
Well, whatever it is, it's... Something's fishy.
Dr. Mazzulla, why does that alarm bell keep banging?
It may be a mama dragon with a lot of babies.
Is that possible?
No.
23!
All right. Dragons lay eggs like lizards, but not like turtles. One female dragon is not going to lay 25 eggs at one... 26 at one time.
Maybe we ought to investigate.
Of course. All right, mateys. Live alive. We'll be casting off now.
I want to go too, Jack.
Oh, little Frida.
Load those cables in the cart there, boys.
Hey, this may be a bit dangerous.
Oh, that's tough. You forget the first time we saw the dragon.
Oh, that's right. You stood there and I ran.
You ran and picked me up before he swallowed me.
Let's wheel those carts on out to the cave.
Wow, the moon is really weird tonight. It has a double rim around it. What does that mean?
It's like two Pollocks taking a bath together.
Huh?
A double ring ceremony.
Little Frida, I didn't expect something like that from you.
Oh, it's all right. I'm Polish.
Oh.
Do you know why Pollocks never commit suicide?
No, why not?
You can't commit suicide leaping out a basement window.
That's terrible.
It's funny, though. I used to get people uptight telling these jokes, but then I'd tell them I was Polish, and they'd relax and think it was fine, and they could laugh. That's really dumb.
We're approaching the cave now. This ought to be something.
Shh! Quiet. Jack and I will approach quietly. We'll soon see how many we've caught.
How are you going to get them loose from the dragon flypaper?
One step at a time. Aha, the moon is acting as our street lamp. I can make out the ruins of the temple.
It sure looks eerie, those white pillars in the moonlight and that flypaper strung all over the place. Wait a minute.
What do you see?
Your dragon flypaper, it's... Come on, let's move closer. You see?
Oh, my lovely dragonfly paper.
Ripped to shreds.
You couldn't even drive a Mack truck through that.
Well, by the looks of it, that dragon decided it wasn't going to leave any of your paper hanging from anywhere.
I can't believe it. I've worked months perfecting the formula. And then within moments, some nitwit monster rips it apart like
tissue paper.
Tissue paper.
Never.
Well, I guess we better pick up the litter, huh?
I don't believe any nitwit dragon is that smart.
So maybe he has a trainer.
Maybe. That's a thought.
Around this place, anything's possible. In fact, hey, little Frida, your pigtails are beginning to rise up.
They always do that when I sense danger.
The dragon?
I don't know. All I know is that there's something here. A power here in the ruins of this temple. A power so strong that if one is able to tap into this power, it would be possible to take the energy and apply it to do anything you wish.
Little Frida.
As long as you didn't
listen to me. Little Frida.
To a point where you didn't.
Shake her.
Something. Shake her.
Shake what? She's gone. Dissolved. Into thin air.
And I dig what Jesus said when he said, lest ye see miracles, ye will not believe. And then he said to Thomas, I guess, after Thomas stuck his finger in his side. Yeah. The others that believed without testing, their belief, their faith is pure. They're freer, they're more ready. And more ready to say, yeah, man, go.
Oh, oh.
What happened?
I'm not certain, but I believe she dissolved.
Oh, obviously she dissolved.
Dissolved into pure energy, which we are anyway. But when she began to feel whatever this energy is here among these pillars, she began to dissolve just like a teaspoon of sugar that's dropped into a cup of tea.
Is she alive?
How should I know?
You mean you didn't engineer this?
I swear to you, this is no illusion.
Well, I know it's no illusion. It's just... Oh, damn, what can we do?
Go in there after her.
Well, we're standing right here on the spot where she disappeared and nothing's happening to us. So how?
I'll invent something.
Oh, boy. Dr. Zarkov of Inverness.
You know nothing about Inverness. Absolutely nothing. There are powers here that go back ages. This whole area is sacred territory. That mountain where the house stands was once a place of worship. The house was built all intricate angles to capture and multiply the vibrations that emit from this sacred earth, as well as those that come from out there. In this temple, these ruins, no one knows who built them.
Okay. So what do we do about little Frida?
She may return on her own. If not, we'll go after her.
Well, how do we do that?
I don't know yet.
Wait, I've got it. Chief Wampum, he'd know.
He might. Talk to him. In the meanwhile, I may as well pick up this dragon litter.
Well, I haven't seen the chief tonight. He must be back at the house. I'll see you. Wow, this place is really weird. I think Dr. Mazzullo was being honest about little Frida. From what I can figure out, they caused some of the things that are going on, but there's a lot that... who knows? I suspect that little Frida could already do that, or was on the verge of being able to do that. Well, somehow it... Weird as it was, it seemed kind of natural. I don't know. Oh, that moon is really bright. There's a nice view of the mansion. Impressive, all right. Quite a piece of architecture. Those four towers rising up into the sky with their... Four? There's only three. No, there's four. There's the fourth one. I can't believe it. It's as solid looking as the rest of them. And that jukebox that plays every time an accident is about to happen. I'll bet there's a way of getting in there. By going through the walls. From the inside. Come on, feet. Do your stuff. Somewhere here is the entrance to the underground passageway. Oh, here it is. Now, let's see. I think I know. This way. Now, around this corner and... dead end. This is as bad as the maze. Let's see, it's bound to be here, somewhere. I'm positive of that. Let me examine this dead end. Just a full-length mirror. And I remember how in the Cocteau movies they'd leap into the mirror and disappear. I wonder if that's possible. But what if I... Well, here goes. So much for that idea. Maybe there's a button or something to push or... Oh, the mirror swings open. It's a door. See what's on the other side. Another mirror? What is this, an amusement park? This mirror... I stepped right through it. Nothing. Nothingness. Space. There's clouds floating below, but they're there, beyond the space on the other side, are steps leading up. I can't leap that space. Well, here I am. Inside the fourth tower of Inverness at last. But I'm at the bottom and I can't go any farther. I'm stuck.
I just tender bows of innocence burns first, and the wind and rises, and then all goodness is in jeopardy.
From Pedro Show, at the Oxes with half, half, and half. Before that, we had Fire Down Below, a song called Superhero. No, it was called Mighty Hero. Sorry.
Cousin.
God. What an idiot. Sorry. Pennsylvania band. And right after Part 11, Fourth Tower, Inverness, we had Julie Christensen with Thunderhead. And now, like I promised, I'm going to play you some of the Rubatos, Brother Dale's band, that had me play that Club Underwear gig last night. Here we go. Brother Dale, the Rubatos, Watt for Pedro Show.
She had black fishnet stockings on up to her rear. That's what made him decide to buy her a beer. And he crossed the barroom floor. And she had not an idea what was in store. Played in a rock and roll band. She said she worked at a hamburger stand. Together they agreed life was mighty grand. And she was a woman in his dreams. And he didn't want her to leave. She could trust him and known where he'd been, and didn't back down on her own intuition. And he was this guy in her dreams, and she didn't want him to leave. Not again.
But I'll be back after the break. In the mean and between time, let me see you shake. Snake. naked in the club. Things will never change.
I apologize, I should try being more humble, but all competition of the sweaty getting crumbled and tumbled in the little pile, duplicating styles. We need to sit in any hall with Eric's sound. You think that's 50 wild? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Larry and Weezy got a child that make you want to sweat. I babysit that brat for about an hour. He started up my toilet and broke my new shower. Broke my dog's neck and ate all my food. Then farted at my table like a fucking old fool. And didn't even say excuse me, that little rude son of a bitch. He must excuse me for all the weed I had and all the drink I had. Smoked it all up and drank it all up and that was the end of that. Now back to the cruise and I'm chilling with that.
Still buying 20 sacks with dollar bills and change. Staying up late at night, a man can go to rain. Things will never change. We will never change. I love that truck, rock and roll. I've been doing this until my dick is old. We don't have control. We cruise the boulevard on the pussy patrol. Roll two more up and then the next one when the road gets up. This is how we do when things will never change. So bring the devil's ride. Devil's claw, ha ha.
strikes midnight. Well, I have always been here before.
This is all. Not piercing the night or rattling any walls. Allowing safely living within living temple walls. Loving isn't a part-time thing. It's something to be. It's beingness I bring. And loving isn't a part-time thing. Certain persons wouldn't have refused the king. He wouldn't have had to leave the pain. He wouldn't have had to pay that fee. Certain persons didn't know living is for free. Loving isn't a part-time thing. It's something to be. It's been this I bring. And loving isn't a part-time thing. A land where there is no hostility. Everyone lives in peace. For loving isn't a part-time thing. Loving isn't a part-time thing. It's something to be. It's beingness I bring. Loving isn't a part-time thing. There is no time for hating. Let it be no way. This is Saint Belda's ring. Loving isn't a part-time thing. Loving isn't a part-time thing. It's something to be. It's beingness I bring. Loving isn't a part-time thing. I'm a big one, 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 I'm a big one
Watt from Pedro show. Brother Matt, you want to describe that record sleeve there? That was the Vomit Visions from Germany.
Got like a little black and white wartime copy of a little groin surgery here. Looks like they're pulling out some crawfish. Some mean squirts going on.
Oh, no, that's a plate, ain't it? It looks like a plate of turds.
Yeah, it could be turds, too, yeah. Yep, I was going crawfish first. Yeah, it's a nurse. She got her old-time little Red Cross hat on, looking like she's getting some mean discharge squirting.
Like a fire hose.
Yeah, it's like projectile.
The play to turn. Anyway, yeah. That's Vomit Visions with, what's the name of the tune? Nasty Stain. For all you non-speaking German people who couldn't pick up on
that. Scratch and sniff.
And before that, some Rocky Erickson, A Lovin' Is Not a Part-Time Thing, as all the members of Vomit Vision could testify to. Before that, we had Watt, myself, with Nels Klein and Bob Lee, Black Gang.
Croonin'.
Where was that? That was a Rocky Erickson song. Rocky Erickson song, I've Always Been Here Before, and it was in Iowa City at Sal's, some in-store in 1998. I get to play with Nels tonight in Long
cool.
Beach, the Banyan,
huh?
And Deep Piazzas, and then tomorrow we're going up to San Francisco, play a place I've never played called Elbow Room. So I get a long ride with Banyan guys, Perk rented a van. We get to have a long spiel with Nels. I
cool.
hung out with him much. Although I have been practicing with him and Kevin from the Geraldine Fibbers, this new Stooges band. Now I'm in five Stooges bands.
Wow-wee.
Looks like some gigs with Jay and the Ashton Brothers in December. A French gig and two London gigs.
Cool.
So, but this Stooges band, we're going to play on Halloween up at Bigfoot Lodge in Los Feliz. But, and something in Spaceland on the 19th. I think Nels, yeah, it's a night of classic rock. And I'm going to do Stooges, but Nels is going to do solo interpretation of Joan Jett.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. In fact, I'm doing Stooges twice because right after the gig, I have to go to Santa Monica and play with Peter and
14
Perk
below.
From, Porno for Pirates. And here's something from a cat up in Sacramento named Percy Howard. He wants me to do some music with him and Vernon Reed. So, I screwed up. I didn't say all the songs. Before the Black Gang, we had Things Will Never Change by Zippy meets Dr. Echo. Zippy, the guitar player from Bargain Music, a Sacramento guy, too. We played the CD release party, me and the second man, a couple weeks ago. For this thing. And we start off with the Rubatos, Each Other's Dreams. Thank you, Brother Dale. Thanks again for that.
Cool.
Gig, too. Some point during the first band set, I asked Brother Dale, I said, please never ask me to do something like this again. He's a great guy. Okay, here's Percy Howard, Watt from Pedro Show.
I'll take your soft white hand. Nail it to the wood. Photograph your mom to make your pain eternal. Your eyes are two black holes. Your skin entraps your soul. And when your life leaks out, your soul stays inside you. I pray your pain is endless and that you'll never forget the life you could have saved, but you couldn't escape. I breathe the cold dry air. The wind that kisses my face. I feel feel the velvet skin. I feel the naked embrace. Your soul rings on the floor, collected in the dark. The light falls into the window and shows your measure to us. The pain is gone, it's gone. The memory is burned back. No, you shouldn't have done it. But now you're dead. Nothing left to love me. The act itself it contains. It's all I wish made.
Pedro show. That was something else. I don't know how I get some of these records, you know, but this is from a while ago. It's Katie Bar the Door with, sounds like they're saying Gettysburg Girl. Maybe that's how you say it there. You don't say Gettysburg.
No,
it's Gettysburg.
I don't know about
the outfits. A lot, they're sporting full-on mullets and
bow ties,
Beatle bass. Oh, man, it's too much. They look like teenagers. Anyway, coming to the end of another installment, Watt for Pedro Show, August 11, 2002 edition. He had The Fascist Lawn by the Peaches before that, Lowdown Wire Live from a month ago in San Diego. And started with, I don't know the name of the song, but that was Percy Howard. So very angst thing there. Thanks again, Brother Matt,
cool.
for your essential
Thank you.
Assistance.
Thank you.
And next week?
Yeah. I think I might be going to San Francisco next week, but Friday we can do it.
Okay, so next week, another Watt from Pedro show.
Yeah.
Okay, keep your powder dry.